Well, it's lovely to be here once more with you. It's a little while, especially now we have such a big circuit. But anyway, it's very nice to have this opportunity to be with you. A parish priest was engaged in some marriage counselling between a husband and wife, who were in their early 60s. The wife was feeling taken for granted, and the husband was one of those man's man, ex-Navy and all the rest of it, didn't show his emotions. And during one of the counselling sessions, the priest said to the husband, "Do you ever tell your wife that you love her?" "Of course I do," he said. The wife looked at him, daggers drawn. "You never tell me you love me." He looked away from her and looked at the priest, and he said, "Yes, I do," he said. "I told her I loved her on our wedding day in 1961, and nothing's changed. Once is enough. She doesn't need telling every day." Well, I think that there's no wonder they were having marriage counselling. It's important, isn't it, to express our loves a little bit more frequently than that. And in our gospel reading, we have this wonderful story of Mary expressing her love to Jesus in a beautiful and intimate manner. The passage is often confused with similar stories in the other Gospels. In Matthew and Mark's Gospel, Jesus has his head anointed by an unnamed woman at the house of Simon the leper during the last week of his life. And in Luke's Gospel, the event happens earlier in Jesus' ministry in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And of course, there the woman mentioned is a notorious sinner who rubs oil of myrrh into Jesus' feet. But here in John's Gospel, we have a very different situation. The woman is named Mary, and not only that, she seems to have a close relationship with Jesus, and he clearly knows her. Now, the members at Bethany were amongst those who, despite everything that was going on, they still maintained their love, their friendship, their open house for Jesus. They provided a place of refuge and support, and it seems that it was there that he stayed then on the Sabbath, and the evening meal took place. And what Mary did then was something beautiful. She didn't need to do it to convince Jesus of her love for him, but she wanted to anyway, and she chose to do so in an extremely public way, in the middle of a dinner party. Now, this must have been some amazing dinner party to attend. So many conflicting emotions amongst the people there. Jesus was keeping his head down because there was a warrant for his arrest from the temple officials. And Lazarus, well, he's only been raised a few days from the dead. One wonders what he's feeling. And Mary and Martha in complete shock. They'd buried their brother and now he is back with them. Their heads must have been spinning. And Judas is in a bad mood, moaning about the lack of money and the way that resources are being wasted. So many different agendas and emotions, a certainly charged atmosphere. And at the heart of it is the realization amongst everyone that Jesus' days with them are numbered. Everyone knew that he would soon be caught and arrested, and there would only be one outcome. And so, just for a short while, Mary and Martha are able to offer some beautiful hospitality, a little respite from the anxious days, an opportunity to feed him, to have some space to relax. And the guests reclined at this meal, not like us, sitting up, their heads were towards the middle of the table and their feet outwards. So it was easy for Mary to perform this incredible ritual. She holds the clay jar in her hands and opens up her hair and pours the perfume extravagantly over Jesus' feet. And then very intimately wipes the oil into his feet with her hair. What an extraordinary thing to do. An extraordinary way for a woman to behave. A bold display of public affection when the barriers and social prejudices of the day shouted, "What on earth is going on here?" The disciples would have been very, very uncomfortable, for here is a woman taking the lead instead of remaining sitting at the back as was their custom. And then John records in that reading that we had, the sweet smell of the perfume filled the whole house What a beautiful comment to make after what had just happened. But Judas is very grumpy and angry at this excess, and he's angry at the display of extravagance. Why wasn't the perfume sold? We could have made lots of money. Think how many poor people, Mary, we could have fed. What a selfish act you have done. But Jesus turns on him and tells him he's got it wrong. He's the one who's miscalculated the situation, not Mary. Let Mary do what she has done. He says, you have the poor with you, but I won't be with you for very long. So why not, for once, Judas, just do something nice for me? Why not just show for once a little excessiveness of love? Tremendously powerful words running completely across then the conventions of the day about the role of a woman. But it wasn't just a display of extravagance on Mary's part. Jesus also, of course, recognised the prophetic nature. We see the scene is acting out of the scene to come, with Jesus challenging Jesus' authority, not valuing him for who he is. Mary anointing Jesus' body with the perfume, probably perfumes left over from Lazarus' funeral. And outside the door, there now is an empty tomb. Once it was Lazarus's, but now it waits for another body. Perhaps the people in Bethany were wondering whose body would be buried next, but Mary's prophetic act makes it very clear. Mary is acting out a prophecy just in the way that the Old Testament prophets did, like Ezekiel eating scrolls, Jeremiah smashing clay jars, Hosea marrying a prostitute, Isaiah walking around naked. So here is Mary, in that tradition, carrying out anointing of Jesus' body for death. And Judas, angry at the waste. But Jesus says, leave her alone. And of course, Mary has carried out an extravagant act as her prophetic mime, because it's in the extravagance that we are reminded of the extravagance of God sending his son Jesus to die. There's nothing miserly about God's love for us. He is excessive in his forgiveness and mercy and grace. And Mary's act, recorded here in John's Gospel, reminds us of that. What a contrast then when people don't show love. What a contrast when you saw the trial of Chris Hune and his ex-wife Vicky Price, where you saw deceit, betrayal, vengeance, and look what a terrible end that brought about. But here in the light of the story from John, we are called to react, to respond to this message. There's an invitation for each one of us to show extravagant love to Jesus as he showed extravagant love to us by dying on the cross. Mary was giving to Jesus what she had, sacrificing all in this mutual relationship. And we're called to do the same. Do you remember the Christmas carol? What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What shall I give him? I will give my heart. This is the message of the passage from John, that Mary gave to Jesus what she was able to, excessive, extravagant, and we're called to do the same. I don't know if you watched on Friday the comic relief. It went on a great long time, but there were some amazingly poignant moments in there. Showing, actually, wasn't it, the whole message was that with just a £5 donation, which most people can afford, real lives can be saved and changed. And this programme kicked off, actually, 2 weeks ago, where the BBC, you may have saw it, did a drama called Mary and Martha. And it was about two mothers, one an American and one English, who lost their sons. One was 7 and one was 24, through malaria. They contracted malaria and were unable to get to a hospital in time. And the films on Friday showed little children who just about got to hospital in time, some hadn't, of course. And the suffering that you go through when you catch this dreadful thing. And this drama finishes where these two ladies come to the American Senate, who's responsible for funding for overseas aid. And what they'd want to try and do is get them to put a bit more money, not a lot, but a bit more money into the malaria pot. And they produce all sorts of statistics and they argue the case, but the cold faces of the Washington Senate really say, you know, we know best, we'll leave it as it is. And then one of the mothers, on a screen that covered the whole wall, starts to show pictures of children, such as we saw on Friday, but who had died. One child dies every minute of every hour of every day from malaria. And this impact before this Senate committee was quite powerful, because she then went on to say, well, if you don't change, then I'll be here next year with thousands more pictures of little children whose lives you could have saved. And the drama ends with a convoy of extra resources going into various parts of Africa. You know, we're all excessive and extravagant when it comes to the things that we shouldn't be, whether it's pride or anger or jealousy or envy. So now we're told to try and show extravagance and excessiveness in love. And when we do that, then we can smell the sweet perfume. We can't leave this passage, though, without saying a few words about the behaviour of our friend Judas. We know he was the money man, that's why he was given the budget, that's why he was given the task of looking after everything. That was his skill, but of course it was to be his downfall, wasn't it? And perhaps we see in the life of Judas, particularly through his act of betrayal and also through this story, an example of someone who had a gift, had a talent, but allowed it to be distorted. Judas was no doubt good with figures. He was a financial talent, but he abused the talent. He abused the gift that God had given him, and so developed a hardness of heart that wrecked his relationship with Jesus. And so perhaps there's a lesson there for us, isn't there? We need to ask ourselves how we are using the gifts and talents we are. Are we using them for our own ends, for our own ambitions, for our own satisfaction, or are we doing them to bring glory to God? And Judas did also something really quite hurtful to Mary. He was so insensitive to what she was doing. Here was she trying to do something beautiful for God, and all Judas could do was sit there with a scowl on his face and snipe and criticise from the sidelines. How dare he criticise someone else's expression of love for God? What right did he have to say that Mary's gift was inappropriate? That this sacred moment for Mary was ruined by his actions. And so we need, in our community here, to guard against such ungodly and wrong behaviour. And we have to be aware that true love, though, brings with it, doesn't it, an element of sacrifice and also an element of suffering. Looking around, I think some of you will remember the song of Simon and Garfunkel called I Am a Rock. He wrote this as it tells of someone who gets hurt in a relationship. And so he says, I'm not going to have any more of this. I'm just not going to get hurt ever again. So the song says, I touch no one because no one touches me. I have no need of friendship because friendship causes pain. I am a rock. I am an island. I'm sure you will agree that friendship can cause pain. And in the case of Mary, it was only when you feel something for someone that it has the power to hurt you. And she showed that so vividly. And so the final truth is that Jesus loved what Mary did. It may have been extravagant. It may have been a bit excessive. It may have been a bit of waste of resources. But Jesus loved it. And he loved to see Mary give herself so freely and openly. And he rejoiced in the extravagance. And so the challenge to us as a church community, can each one of us show that same extravagance towards Jesus and towards each other as we live out our lives? Can we enjoy also the extravagance of others? Jesus has been extravagant and excessive in his love for us by dying on the cross. And it's time then for us to reciprocate, to show our love and service for him, to give up any sarcasm or criticism or wrong thoughts that we may have, and rejoice in the extravagance and the excessiveness of each other as we seek to glorify God in this church today and for the rest of our lives. Amen.